This portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Fear Free. Fear Free takes the pet out of petrified and puts the treat into treatment. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.
I've been promising it. You've been waiting at the edge of your seats. You ready to talk UTI?
Let's talk UTIs.
Okay. We have Dr. Tony Buffington. He's a professor of veterinary clinical sciences at the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. Glad to be here.
So what is UTI and is it only in cats?
Well, no, actually, that is one of the many confusing parts of the disease that I study. UTI is an acronym that stands for urinary tract infection.
Okay.
And urinary tract infections in cats are actually quite uncommon.
Really?
But the signs of a problem related to the bladder all look the same because the cat pees blood, it pees outside the litter box, it sits in the box and screams, all those things. And there's 30 different diseases that have been identified that can cause that. Now, fortunately, they're not all equally likely. Some are much more common than others. And since in people, urinary tract infections are quite common and result in the same signs of pain and constantly needing to go to the bathroom, the assumption is made that because the signs are the same, the disease must be the same.
Is there a link between stress and these UT issues that we're talking about?
Okay, absolutely. And so I spent my entire career learning about that. Because it turned, and so just a little history, in the early 1990s, I received funding from the National Institutes of Health to study these urinary tract problems in cats as a naturally occurring model of a disease called interstitial cystitis in women, which is a chronic pelvic pain syndrome. And it turns out that, as far as anyone can tell, it's the same disease in two species. What we did with the studies is that we had people who were going to have these cats euthanized because they were not acceptable pests to them anymore, donate them to our research colony. Mm-hmm. And what we noticed, the things we noticed when they came in is, first of all, they didn't just have lower urinary tract problems. Many of them had problems with their lungs or their skin or their GI tract or their behavior. And after they got into the enriched, enriched environment of the cattery we were keeping them in, all of their signs went away.
Were you scratching your head at that time?
Well, actually, that started making it easier because the only way that those organs can communicate with the environment is through the brain. So the brain had to be reading something in that environment that it found threatening for long enough that it started that those organs started to function abnormally. Stress is the cause in about 2/3 of the cases, though. So it's the most common cause.
Okay.
And the way people will notice that they're not using the litter box anymore, or that they're hiding, or that they're starting to act. You'll pick them up and they'll try to bite you because their belly hurts. Those kinds of things. They go into the litter box 20 times a day. Instead of 2 to 3, which is normal.
And that would be a sign that they're stressed, is that they may not be using the litter box?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. What can we do to lessen our pet's stress, ultimately?
Well, with cats, what we do is change the environment, and we decided to do that just because of the research that we had done. When the environment changed, the animal got better. And so we have a conversation with the owner to try to find out what's going on in the environment. Does the cat have a safe place where it can go? Is it being bothered by other cats or the dog or whatever? Does it have chances to climb and chances and opportunities to scratch in places that are okay? So the owner's not yelling at it or throwing a can at it or squirting water at it. One of those kinds of things. And so we restructure the environment. At the same time, we try to talk to the owner and explain to them that it's just that cats are just a little bit different from other species. And so if you put these things into place and let them choose what they want to do, they often get better. So for example, if someone thinks they want to change the diet or change the litter, you don't just take the old diet or the old litter away and give them the new one because the cat might not even know what it is. So you always change it as a choice in a separate container next to the usual one.
Oh, like that.
Yeah.
I've never heard that tip before, but that's great.
Yeah. And then the other thing that we do, and I'm biased here, but we've published on it, and I'm biased because I'm a nutritionist. Cats are hunters. I mean, that's what they were on this planet to do, and then they just came into contact with us a few thousand years ago, and we changed their lives. And so we've become really big fans of using of putting their food in different kinds of puzzles, so that they can so that they have the opportunity to hunt and find their food. And we find that that really improves their perception of control of their surroundings, which is what stress is when you lose your perception of control.
These are great. If you want more tips like these, head on over to fearfreehappyhomes.com. And, of course, links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.pet. Dr. Tony Buffington, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
This portion of Animal Radio was underwritten by Fear Free. The veterinarian isn't typically thought of as your pet's favorite place to go. With Fear Free, that all changes. To learn more and find a certified Fear Free veterinary professional near you, visit fearfreepets.com.